Hello and welcome to the Desidota podcast. I am Sylvan.
And this is Alan.
For episode 3, we thought we would do a three-way podcast. So that means today we have a special guest. Now, the special guest today is indeed someone that is out of the ordinary. He is quite special in some cases. His name is Aaron. Say hi, Aaron.
Hi, everybody.
All right, Aaron, tell us about yourself. Why are you so special?
Wait, what?
That's a very high comment to start with.
Yeah, that's very hard to answer as well.
Because he is what we call an elite, right? Especially an elite in a topic what we're talking about today. Yeah?
Yeah.
Aaron, yes. Since today is technically Aaron's last day in Australia.
No, it's not. No, it's not. 2 days.
Two days. Yes. Okay, 2 days. 2 days away from him leaving Australia to a very majestical place, not Hogwarts, but somewhere as prestigious. We're going to talk about something that Aaron wants to talk about, which is
what? We're going to talk about schools.
Schools. Yay, schools. Yay. How fun, schools. Well, Alan, you're always an A-plus student, aren't you? How did you pursue grades when you were in school?
So first of all, what does the question actually mean? What do you mean, how do we perceive grades? I see grades as...
Didn't he say pursue?
No, perceive.
Oh, he said perceive. Sorry, my bad.
Perceive.
How should we perceive grades?
So it's like, what's our general attitude towards grades? Should we like try to get... should we try to like spend all our time on studying and try to get the best grades that we can possibly get? Or should we try to see it as a non-essential and then like... focus more on extracurricular activities and our well-being? Like, what's how do we maintain the balance?
Interesting.
I mean, I don't think anyone can do what you said first, you know, like focus on the grades so much that he ignores everything else. Yeah, I think everyone has to do some...
No, but surely there are some type of people on this planet that only focus on study, right? Because I've seen, I don't know if you've all seen, but like they are typical like characters in TV shows or in movies that portray someone that only studies, right? So if I put it into some perspective, maybe, I don't know if you guys watched this film, but it's called The Triplets of Belleville. We watched this film when we were in year 8, but it's basically a film saying a cyclist that only trains for cyclists. So in the morning, he'll cycle outside to train for Tour de France because he wants to win. And then basically the film is kind of an abstract film and saying all he does is to train for this thing, right? Which is to attend Tour de France and potentially win. So the irony of it is that his thighs are huge, but his head is small. So in a sense, I think this type of character may actually exist in our real life. So maybe someone that only looks for the grades, right? Someone that only looks for, okay, I want to get 100% on this test or on this exam. Right, I don't care about my free time because my happiness comes from this grade. How do we perceive that? So I think this type of people actually exist, right? That's my point of view.
Maybe it doesn't have to be that extreme. It can just be like, it doesn't have to be a person who completely focuses on studying, but then there can be people who focus like a lot to the point that they're losing track of other stuff.
Right, so you're saying that someone is so focused on something that they lose track of their life, basically.
Yeah.
Just like how sometimes you're so into an activity, you lose track of time?
Not really like this. It's like they're so preoccupied with studying that they kind of lose interest in other stuff. And then they kind of get... isolated from the community.
Well, maybe they are just interested in the studying itself. If you think like this, they're actually the lucky people because they actually interested what we are forced to do, what other people may think is meaningless.
No, but you see, your point is that they are lucky people, right? What is considered as lucky? Because you can say that, okay, being able to study and enjoy it is a type of, you know, indulgence for them, so that's lucky for them, right? But you can also say that, you know, we are also forced to do all these extra curriculums, that they're unlucky then, right? You can't just say that they're lucky because you think that is a bad thing for you, right? But what if someone that both loves, you know, that can manage their time perfectly, that can, you know, have perfect grades at school in the morning and be like the lead soloist in a band after school in the extracurricular activities, right? How do you define lucky? Can we really define lucky, to be honest? Or is that just a very subjective word?
I think that's very subjective.
Coming back to perceive, right? How do we perceive grades? One thing I think in many Asian background children will be about their parents pushing for grades, right? That is one way how, like Alan said before, he used the word force, right? Maybe it's because, you know, parents' pressure or even peer pressure forcing you to do all this study. Like I think Alan said it before in the very first episode about his brother, how his brother is currently having to play piano and etc., right? Being really forced into it. And then Alan's just now relaxing, but then his brother is suffering in a sense, right? So maybe a big part of it comes from the parent. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, I do agree that a lot of the reason why we have to like study so hard comes from our parents' expectations. But I'm also questioning like whether that is a good thing or not. Because even though it is a lot of pressure, it's also a great source of motivation. Like just use Alan's brother as an example. Even though he might be suffering right now, but then when he grows up, he might find that he has learned a lot of talents. Like he can do a lot of stuff and he can like achieve success in his adult life. So maybe like his suffering is also a good thing.
That is how normal parents will think, right? And it is exactly why they want their kids to do those things. And they often expect their children to appreciate their strict, heavy education. I mean, even thinking from our perspective as young adults, we do feel thankful to them when we can, you know, sometimes show off our instrumental skills in a school performance. And we feel thankful to them for our math skills because they sent us to mathematical Olympiad classes at an early age. But could it be that we are thinking this way just because we've already forgotten about the pain and only remember the results? Travel back into your childhood self. You only feel like you're forced to do something you don't like and probably will not like in the future. You receive no short-term fulfillment and satisfaction, but rather has to face extra pressure and bear extra workload. I mean, now as adults, we of course think it was all worth it. But what if you think as your younger self?
That's true, right? That's true. I agree with you to an extent. Because like you said, parents don't know exactly what their child will like in the future, right? And children usually don't really show if they really like it or not because they're forced into doing it anyways. So they have to do it. Otherwise, you know, parents will be really harsh on them and etc. But one thing, coming from my own experiences and own perspective, I think because when I was young, ever since kindergarten, my parents wanted me to play piano, in a sense. I think that is probably many Asian backgrounds children things.
Yeah.
Aaron, do you play piano?
I play guitar.
But yeah.
But that was your fault.
Right. Because my parents really wanted me to, you know, gain interest in something because I was never really good at anything. Like I wasn't really super good at anything. But like I know how to do a lot of things, but I'm just not like, for example, someone could have an Amos A in a piano degree and so on, right? I don't have any of that. But I know how to play a wide range of instruments in a sense. And my piano teacher used to say that I always go for that 80%, but after that 80%, I just give up. And that kind of just characterizes my life. But then, so having that concept in mind, I really hated piano back then, right? But then now, looking back, I feel like if I actually tried hard enough, then I'm actually going to have that, you know, ability to, you know, actually compose some music for this podcast, right? If I'm actually, you know, I went for that extra 20% when I had the time to, right? Now I don't really have the time, but if I had the time to do it, maybe my parents was actually right. Maybe the pressure did indeed gave me, maybe it did not give me motivation, but it gave me something to look forward to the past in the future, right? Maybe it helped me in a sense. So I guess I agree with both of your point of views in a sense that parents could be great, but also parents don't know exactly what their children will be like or what their children want, right? And children sometimes are scared to express their own opinions.
Yeah, maybe even the children don't know what they want.
Because they're young, right? They don't even understand the world. So maybe,
you
know, they say parents know the best, right? Maybe the saying is correct.
Yeah,
but
that's
again,
interesting,
very subjective
actually.
Thing. And
wait, do you think that children should deserve freedom?
Again, what is freedom,
like,
though?
They
right?
get to choose how to spend their time, to be, you know, realistic. So if my brother is forced to play piano, should he be able to choose between piano and Lego, for example?
Well, I think at a certain age, like yourself, right? At a certain age, your parents are probably going to choose a lot of options for you. You kind of don't have a lot of choices when you're younger in life. And then now you feel like, okay, I can make all the choices. I can decide when I go to sleep. They're not going to tell me, oh, it's bedtime now and so on, right? But then what their choice is not necessarily correct in a sense because they're not mature enough, right? At that particular age, they'll probably just choose fun rather than thinking about their future, right? I think there are two types of parenthood as well with regards to that. You can have one type of parents that just let their children figure out everything. You have a very independent children from the, you know, from the ground up, right? Have someone that is so, you know, independent that they learned everything from their own experiences. So they really had to experience all the hardships when they're at a young age because they, you know, they chose to play. So maybe their school grades are bad, but the pressure may not be coming from the parents that time because the parents actually don't care, right? But the school, the teachers, the peers and so on, right? That's where the pressure mounts up. So I guess the pressure will mount up in a different setting. So if your brother chose Lego, I'm sure, and if your parents don't care, the pressure is going to come in some sort of way one day. So maybe the classmates don't care right now, but a few years onwards when, you know, people are talking more about grades, more about VCE, HSC, IB, and etc., all these high school assessments, maybe that time he'll realize, okay, now I'm going to work hard, or he might realize, okay, now it's too late or something like that, right? So I guess parenting is actually crucial in a sense. But it depends on the children as well, right? It depends on what type of children you have. So I suppose Aaron, yourself, could be a very independent kid. Your parent really didn't have to force you to do anything. You just kind of found joy while you're doing it, right?
Not really. Why did you say that?
What? What? I don't know. No, because this is like... Because Aaron has always been a really good student, he is the rank one, right? He also got the highest in our school. But so what we as normal people, so me as a normal person, I'm not saying that I'm bad at studying, but I'm also not great, right? So me as a normal person, looking at Aaron and thinking like all the work that he does, I just think that maybe he found joy, right? He found joy of... He feels intrigued about why this thing works and then he finds the need to study it, right? But like for me, I probably need to force myself to do it. So that's why. Maybe this is a misconception. Is it a misconception?
It's stereotype. what we do subconsciously to undermine those who work harder, to push themselves more to achieve higher.
Or is it just to make yourself feel better?
That's exactly what
because
I mean. To undermine others. To undermine others' effort and like emotional pressure. And I think what you said earlier is also interesting. So the external pressure from your parents and from society and peer later transfers into like an internal pressure, an internal expectation for yourself as you grow up. Then it makes sense to, you know, let the parents in your early childhood to give you some pressure to, you know, So you have a flat, I don't know how to describe this, like a flat mindset, so you don't get overwhelmed as you grow up. Does that make sense?
Okay, two things with that, right? First of all, everyone's different. So I'm just saying a type of children, to be honest, right? Maybe that child won't care even after, you know, even during the high school examination period. They probably won't care. And after they just go, you know, do whatever they would like after high school, right? You don't really need to go to uni and so on, right? There's also that type of people. I'm just saying at one type of person. Oh, sorry, one type of students, in a sense, where the pressure mounts up, they feel the need, or the pressure conforms them into trying to do this thing good, right? But second thing, like parents, right? Parenthood, where you said, where you think it is the best for the parents to, you know, kind of structure the early life of particular students at the start, so they have a good head start, and then, you know, they'll feel the need to, they feel the need to perform from the ground up, right? But then one thing I want to say on that is that not every parent would be like that. So I know some of the parents that I've seen in my life, whether my parents' friends and or etc., some of them, they just, you know, let their kids play, right? They have very open minded kind of education method. They uphold sports, you know. Okay, if you just think of studying, go out, go to the basketball court, shoot some baskets, right? Develop your interest a bit. So, yeah, so you really have a wide range of different parenting methods, but it's really hard to say which one is correct. For example, all these like basketball ballers or soccer players and etc., those very talented players, obviously there's talent involved, but they also started from a very young age, right? You can say their parents forced them to do it, or you can say their parents let them do it, right?
Yeah, I want to add to what Alan has said a little bit. I think like Alan said that if the parents make choices or like give their children pressure at an early age, then at some point it will transform into like internal pressure. I think like that's true, because I think that's kind of also like what happened to me. With regards to studying. At an early age, my parents told me to like study hard and to try my best at schools. So at that point, it's still external pressure. After like year five, after I get into middle school, it becomes internal pressure. The whole thing becomes like a habit or a sort of discipline. I'm kind of like forcing myself to do it.
Yeah, I think I can relate to you, right? In a sense, it's hard when someone asks you, what is the key to your success, right? Can you really answer it?
Not really.
Right? Maybe it's just about building your habit from a young age when that external pressure starts to become an internal ambition, maybe, to do well.
Yeah.
So I had a period of time when I was just, you know, naturally good at studying.
Cool.
Naturally good at studying. In a sense, I think that was probably like year 9 when I got a lot of awards. I don't know how I got them, but then year 8, I was like, not great. Year 9,
whoa,
relevantly a lot better all of a sudden. Don't know what happened, but then looking back...
So you peaked really early.
Yeah, I peaked pretty early. After that, I kind of just dropped off. I told you, right? In the previous episode, I said I was pretty good up until year 11 until I had that, you know, that thing. But today is not that. Today is not an episode to talk about relationship. But yeah, so one thing I think that helped me was that is, I don't know, lots of kids like to play games, but I'm just naturally bad at games. I can't play any FPS. I can't play any Minecraft. I'm just really bad at them, right? I get dizzy and nauseous playing Minecraft. The only games I play are like car games, and nobody plays racing games back then. I don't think any of you played those racing games, right? Yeah, no, exactly. So I really like those simulation games back in the days. So all my games, I can't really play with anyone. So nobody can call me up at night and be like, hey, let's play a round of a League, right? Let's play a round of CSGO. Let's do some Rocket League. Let's do some Minecraft. I can't do any of that. So what I would do is that I either watch YouTube or I just freaking study, right? It's study. Basically, I thought like studying was the only thing I can do. So I just literally just do all the homework every day. And I think I did that for like the whole year in year nine. And I didn't even feel it, right? I just thought, okay, I'm just doing homework. Everyone's doing the homework as well. Until I found out that everyone has been playing games and so on. And then I got the award. So yeah, so it's very natural process. I don't even know what happened, but it's just like, as soon as you get into that rhythm, you're set. In a sense.
Yeah, as long as you don't question.
Unless something happens. Yeah, as long as you don't start questioning, it's like, why am I doing it? Then you're going to have problems, right?
Yeah, it's actually an interesting question. Why are we doing it? So in China, we call this Gaokao. And then I'm sure we, like, this is like the...
So high school assessments, just for the people that can't speak Chinese.
Yeah, so I'm sure like all of us think that's the most important thing in our past 18 years. Like, we value it so much, there's nothing that can override it. Like, honestly, I thought I was gonna die on the night before I got my result. Like that's how much pressure it was.
Nah, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. It was worse when I did it in year 11. Like, the results, because I did two subjects early in year 11, right? And then that night was worse, to be honest. Because in year 12, I kind of... Because we did the high school period. Like, our very last year was in lockdown, right? That exposes our age, doesn't it? So we had it in lockdown. And basically, at one point, I started thinking, right? Because when it's like, we are so used to being in lockdown right now, we don't really feel anything. But like, when you first get into lockdown, everything just seems to slow down. You don't really have to speed up anything. You're not rushing to get to somewhere. You're just doing everything from home. And that kind of gave me more thinking time. And I was like, And then during that time, that question came into my mind, right? Why do you study? What if you don't study? Does that actually determine your life? Does high school assessments actually determine your life?
I think you have to change the word here. It's not study. It's about grades. Yeah, it's about grades and tests. Should we study to get the grade?
Okay, yeah, you're right. Because study is a different thing. Study could also be a fun thing, right? Where you just learn more knowledge.
Yeah, if you take out the pressure.
For example, if I'm learning about rockets... during my VC year, when I'm doing like math, right? I'm studying, but it's just not relevant stuff to my high school assessment, right? Okay, great. Thank you for correcting me on this. But yeah, you're exactly right. What happens if I don't study for this thing and don't get the grade? Does that mean my life is over? Like Alan said, on the result night, he thought he was gonna die, right?
Yeah, I think it doesn't, but then that's how the society makes us think.
I think we only... feel that it's not that important after we already got our results. So it's like, yeah.
Really? I thought I started to think that it's not important like during August.
No, I started to think it's not important after I got to uni. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because like, I don't even remember what it is.
But it's because the results aren't going to change. So like, your mind knows that no matter what it thinks, it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, and also I think one thing with this topic, interesting part, is that it also changes with the time. Because we can say that the society is slow in a sense. I don't know, right? I'm just talking about this. We're discussing about this. So would you say that the society is slower than how it is advancing? Would you say that the society's uptake for new opportunities and new technology is slower to the technology is advancing? Would you say the rate is slower than the rate of the technology advancing? Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't really make sense.
Because hear me out. Because back in the days, or back in your parents' days, they really had to study hard. If they don't get into college, what do? They have to go sweep the streets, push the carts in the supermarket, pick up rubbish.
But I think back in our parents' days, not many people go to university.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, if you go to university, you get really good opportunities.
Exactly, prestigious, right? All university students had a really prestigious title back in those days, right?
Like, if you get into uni, then
you're successful.
You're very likely to be successful.
Yeah, you're basically successful. You're on the right path. You're 90%, 98% there, probably.
Yeah, because not many other people go to uni.
But then nowadays, there are tons of unis all around, right? You have good unis. People are no longer just looking for getting into uni. They're looking for good unis, prestigious ones, just like yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're always seeking the best. So we're living a different time. But then does it really matter? So how many of those actual, you know, million years, billion years, CEOs of all those, I sound like one of those freaking advertisements. How many of those actually went to college, huh? Now, but yeah, let me just sound like that for a second, right? How many of those that actually went to college? I'm not saying that college is not great. College is great. You learn a lot of knowledge. You really, it'll really polish you into a better person if you went into a correct degree that suits you and etc., right? But then, in a sense, after looking at those, you know, all these new tech firm leaders and so on, how, you know, some of them went to college, got a doctorate degree, right? But some of them maybe dropped out of high school, Mark Zuckerberg, right? And so on. Dropped out from MIT. Obviously, they're smart in the first place. But so it really doesn't define you, right?
Yeah, but that's because they're too smart for MIT. They're ready to create a business and make billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Then they don't even need MIT.
True.
And I think that's also partly because of like survivorship bias, because there's still way more people that didn't went to college in comparison with the number of people that went to college. Yeah, it's like 8-2 or maybe 7-3.
Yeah,
I'll say, like, from just from the numbers, the people that didn't went to college, although has a lower chance to be successful, I'll say, but then because they are numbers, they are still going to be more successful people that didn't went to college.
Right, because you're saying that despite they didn't go to college, but they still can be successful. Successful, right?
Because there are more of them.
There are more of them, right. Yeah, interesting point, isn't it? Also, another point I want to point out is we talked about the CEOs, right? We talked about how Mark Zuckerberg is too smart for MIT. But then you can also have those YouTubers. For example, PewDiePie. PewDiePie didn't finish college. He dropped out, right?
What? How do you know that?
He said it himself, I think, in one of his past videos.
Really?
And now he's one of the... Well, he was once the most subbed channel in, you know, on YouTube, right? Until T-Series took over. But that's for another topic, obviously. I'm not saying any of his content is great or anything, or is terrible or anything, right? But you see that he's able to, you know, make a living, become famous in himself, and do what he loves to do, in a sense, right? Maybe you can say he is so smart at playing games or doing YouTube that he's smarter than his environmental degree at the Sweden University.
I don't think I would say he's smart. I would just say he's lucky.
So saying there's a component of luck?
I say that luck is the biggest component of his success.
Coming back to school, you should probably go to university, right? We're doing university right now, and I think university is great. It gives you a different measure, right? You really start to interact with people that are smarter than you. It gives you a wider outlook. Before I went to uni, I really thought to myself, Ronu, what else can it be, right? In year 12, just like, oh, might as well, you know, uni. People study really, you know, just nerds, right? But then after you go to uni, you see all these types of different people, right? And then you see that people actually have dreams, right? All those uni clubs, you know? They're not actual businesses, but they run like an actual business, right? They give you an experience of what an actual business is. If you're involved, for example, the racing team. If you're actually involved in a Formula One team that travels the world, right? It's just scaled down. Everything operates similarly. Everyone has to work together. Inside a big team, you have sub-teams. Inside the sub-teams, you have, you know, project managers, you have designers, you have sponsor person, marketing person. So to make sure they have enough budget and to, you know, make to the race, you know, it's not a guarantee. It's not like in high school when you do a school project, everyone's doing the same thing. If you don't finish, there's always going to be an emergency thing you can do, or the teacher has like a backup plan for you so everyone can participate. But you realize when you go to university, it's not going to like that, especially in a club setting, right? I'm not talking about any course or anything because every course will be different. But let's just talk about clubs. If you actually don't achieve it, right? If you actually don't achieve those goals, nobody's going to help you. Nobody has a backup plan for you. If we don't have a car to race at this week's or at this year's race, then we don't have a car to race. Simple as that, right? We lose the sponsors. It's a very real thing. We really connect with the actual community in a sense. So my take from all the semester, right? So all the semesters that I have done at the uni so far, I would say that is one of the biggest takeaway for me so far for now.
But I mean, in lockdown, we literally didn't experience any uni life.
Yeah, true. Right, so that's why I use the club as an example. I can't really.
Are you actually part of a club? Like,
yeah, I am.
Are you actually experiencing the things you said you're experiencing?
We're having a meeting, like a full team meeting every week.
For the race?
Not for the race, but for the development of the car. The race is later on, like in December or something, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
so who's actually driving that?
Oh, I don't know. So they're gonna be drivers.
Is it even safe?
Like, they're like a lot of people in this group. Like, the whole team is not as big as a Formula One team, obviously, but it's big, right? You have about 20-ish sub-teams, around 20 sub-teams. And you have like people doing all the aerodynamics, people doing all the engine, the motors, people doing the brakes, people doing the marketing, mm-hmm. people doing the electronics or the controls. And the battery technology, etc. You have all these different things, right? And then it's beautiful to see that all of these sub teams come together to make one single car, right? Because we're at the end of the day, we're only making one car. We're not having like all the sub teams competing each other to make the best car. We're only, you know, working at our own expertise or in our own expert field to make the one perfect car and hopefully be able to, you know, take pole position and have a race win and etc. Right? So that's, I think that is like where uni is like beautiful in a way. You really get to meet like-minded people. And in a sense, you see people that are smarter than you and you just aspire them, right? Or the lecturers, for example. They're like all like doctors, masters, and all the things they say. Not all the things they say, but most things they say kind of like intrigues you. It's like, how are they so knowledgeable? How can one human be so knowledgeable? We're all humans. How can he do it? But, you know, I'm like this. So that means I can do it too, right? Because we're all humans. So it gives you motivation. And in a sense, when you become old enough, right, the pressure to behave well or the pressure to... It's not like a pressure anymore. Because there's no university pressure. Nobody's coming after you. But it's like they're... How do I say it?
But there's still pressure from society.
Yeah, there's pressure from society. But let's just say we take away the pressure from society. They kind of... they're charm, in a sense, right? They're charm. They have this charm of knowledge. In a sense, they say, well, you know, back in the days when I was your age... We did this thing, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, now you have better technologies. So when you're at the same age as me, you should probably be better than me in a sense, right? So it really, that charm turns into kind of a motivation or an internal motivation that we have been talking about before. Yeah. So I have been talking about a lot. So I have been talking a lot again. Well, yeah.
So moving to our next topic.
Moving to our next topic.
I don't really get the charm, but okay.
You don't really get the charm?
No. Like, the lecture...
He is a charm. He is a charisma.
No. The lecture just seemed to be so distant from us, right? They're just like a person in the video. We don't really get any, like, interactions.
Yeah, but I suppose it also depends on the lecturer, right? How they teach. Because for one semester, for one of my subjects, I had a really a bad experience in which I had to watch all the recorded videos. And then
I'm always watching recorded videos.
Okay, recorded videos. But then you can see their face, right? I couldn't even see their face. All I see is his hands. So it was only a projector. All the recorded video is the projector showing his hands writing stuff. So I still don't know who he looks like. After the subject finished, I still don't know who he is. I only know what he sounds like approximately. And the sound actually is really bad as well. It's like crackles and things.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it's not a great experience. But I would say, okay, sure. It depends on the lecturer, right? Like the lectures that I have for this semester so far, they've been great, right? The motivational speakers, they have this sense of charisma, a sense of charm, right? They give off a sense of knowledge where you can be if you actually keep going with this. It will be hard. They don't make it sound easy. They'd be like very understand. They'd be really understanding, right? They'd be like, yeah, well, sometimes it's not your tea and so on, right? But obviously, university is not going to be perfect. There are downsides to them. A thing about that will be sometimes they just don't care about you. Like,
yeah, I think that's what happened to me most of the time.
Yeah, sometimes they just don't care about you, right? It depends on really on like what subject you're doing and who the subject coordinator is and how they plan it out. If they're like super, super like, if they're like super, super successful, they might not even consider you. They might not even look at you as someone that's worth looking at. They'd be like so high up and they just look down at you and they're like, oh, okay. I don't even know your name, but hey, I'm teaching you this subject, right? That's some lecturers, I would say. Would you say that?
I mean, all my lectures are in the form of pre-recorded videos. So
wait, so all your lectures are pre-recorded?
All my lectures are pre-recorded.
Wow, your lectures are so great. Great. I mean, with inverted commas.
So there are like no interactions. They don't know me. I know their faces.
So if you technically if you don't email them, you'll never know who they
are. Which I don't.
They'll never know you existed.
Yes.
Except for looking at your student ID or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and like tutors, I'm pretty sure they don't really care because they're just like working for the university and then they'll be gone after they graduate or something.
Yeah, okay. I think let's move on from this topic.
So let's get to I think like one of my favorite topic, differences between Chinese and Australian schools. Like, because I did the high school in Australia, I cannot comprehend the pressure in Chinese high school. Basically, what they will do is like they will spend the entire day at school and then they go home just to sleep.
I heard different. Apparently, they like you have to go early, right? So basically, this has all changed pretty recently. This has all changed, right?
Yes.
Pretty recently, this has all changed. So because of the double
to reduce the pressure,
double decrease, double decrease, right? So a new policy by the Chinese government, they employed the new policies. But yeah, before that, the pressure was really high, right? Because I remember hearing from my cousins that, it's no longer... No, because I did primary school in China, right? So I had... Let's first not talk about my cousin first. Let's talk about my classmates first. So I had classmates in China in primary school. And then I came here after year 5. So... In Shanghai, primary schools finish in year 5, and then year 6 is part of the middle school. So I left after I finished year 5, and I came here. So here, year 6 is part of primary school, so I had to do primary school here, and then secondary college. So I obviously, I wouldn't say primary school was easy. It was already starting to get hard, a lot of tutoring back in the days, and then also a lot of homework, right? It's all changed now, but then that was when I was in primary school. And then I had those friends that went later into different type of colleges. So I have those that went to bad colleges, right? Like I said, like we said before, in China, this actually happens a lot sooner, right? They have something called middle school assessments, right? So in order to get into good middle school, back in my days, you had to do well in a test, right? Get to a certain mark and then you'll get to, the best school in the district or the best school in the whole entire city, right? Things like that. But then I think now all they do is just like do a lottery and then you get to go to what school you get.
Just to reduce the pressure
and the cost on the parents, right? So they don't have to do tutoring. So as a result, they'll have more kids, right?
Hopefully.
But so because obviously the economy is decreasing, right? In a sense, for those right now, or they're already in university like me. But for those that had to do this primary school assessment to go into middle school, they experienced this long train, right? After year 9, they had to do another test to get to high school, right? They get split again, right? Back in the days.
Yeah.
So the pressure was always consistent throughout the way. But obviously, when they get to uni, apparently Chinese unis are, you know, a bit soft on them. Unless you're in one of the top unis, like Tsinghua University and Peking University.
Peking. Right?
And then obviously a few ones in, you know, the ones in Shanghai and so on, right? All the famous universities in the top 50, they are pretty tough. But let's say if you get into a normal university in China, you're pretty much set, right? You can't really fail classes.
Well, from what I've heard from my parents, I think like, even though they're going to good universities, they're still like not studying a lot. Like once they get into university, they're taking off all the pressure.
Because I think they study a lot of things before university. Like they can just carry that knowledge through.
Yeah, and I think it's because there's just not that much pressure in university. It's not like university has become easier on them. It's just that they don't feel the pressure and they just want to like relax.
Yeah.
After like suffering 12 years of high school, of school.
Schooling, normal schooling, right?
Schooling, yeah.
If they want to have a master, they still have to...
Master's different. Like master, you're really talking about people having interest in the field, right? If you don't have interest in your field, you're just going to get what you need, the basically bachelor, right? And then you'd be like, okay, I'm set. All right.
Yeah, but I think the trend now is like, before, like people are satisfied going into uni and graduate after 3 years.
Yeah, now they're asking for
but
more.
But now people, they need to have a master. They need to do master.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many people have a bachelor degree.
So they have to. Like before, I said, a lot of people, you know, getting into uni, getting a bachelor's, it's no longer the big thing. Now people are just aiming higher, right? Getting masters in the future. Masters won't even be a big thing. Be getting a doctor's and then, you know, maybe even post-doctor. Who knows?
I don't know.
Right? Everyone will be going for Nobel Prize one day. but coming back, right? So the pressure was really high. It also seems like the best way to do it is to leave primary school in China, come here to study in middle school and high school, and then go back for university. That just seems like the most relaxed way to do your schooling, in a sense. At least that's what I thought for a moment in my life. But apparently it's not the case.
What? Why isn't it the case?
I don't know. Because your parents would be unhappy. They'd be like, why are you not coming? Why are you not doing university here? Or else is like you said, right? Because they had so much pressure before, the pressure in university is just not big enough for them. But maybe as you didn't experience that pressure since you grew up in a Australian high school setting or a Western high school setting, you're not used to that pressure. You might actually feel like the university is actually hard, right? That's probably could be the case as well. What do you guys think?
I think, like, overall, university students are given a lot of freedom. So I think Chinese universities will be, like, kind of similar to Australian universities, although their courses are definitely going to be harder. So, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you manage your own studying.
Yeah. But also, I wouldn't be able to speak Chinese when I go back to China to do university. My Chinese ability has drastically decreased, should I say.
And I think, like, from uni, work has, like, it's becoming bigger and bigger in your life. So it makes you think, why do you want to study when you can just work? Yeah. So you're starting to, you know, compare the value between a, how do you call this, diploma? Yeah, so basically you start to compare between the value of a title and starting to work earlier and
it's
then
like comparing,
give up on the study.
I think I asked you guys about this, right? I think I asked you about this when we were still in high school back in the days. I was like, what is the difference between TAFE and university? Do you guys still remember that question?
No.
No.
No?
No.
Okay, maybe you guys... Okay, I see how it is. Now... Yeah, but I asked this question, right? I was like, what is the difference? No, I asked Aaron once, and Aaron just replied to me, like, a big difference. Yeah, a big difference. That's what he said before.
I'm going to say that now. a big difference.
Yeah, I agree. It's a big difference as well. But yeah, this is coming back to like what Alan is saying, right? What's the difference between having TAFE, the ability to work, or the certificate to, you know, I have this certificate that I'm able to fix electrical wires or do plumbing or do, you know, nursing, nursery, plants, cooking certificates, and so on, right? I have the certificate, so why do I need the degree? Let's say, why do I need a, for example, if you do cooking, why do I need a, you know, degree in food sciences? Why do I need a degree in chemistry if I'm just going to become a chef in the future, right? So again, it's like a lot of people are starting to work. Like back in the days, you really rarely hear, right, people coming out of high school and just starting to work. I think this is still very small. This is still a very small portion or a small concept in China, in a sense. I think a lot of students in China don't do that. Like they just get into uni. All they do is like they finish uni, and after uni, they hopefully they can get an office job, in a sense, right? But then here,
Yeah, but the thing is like, in the current Chinese society, if you don't go to uni, it's going to be really challenging for you to find a job. Because a lot of companies are going to require that. They're going to look at like your degree, and then they're going to... Like, if you don't go to uni, you may not even get an interview. Like, they're just going to reject your resume.
I know what you're saying, but what I'm saying is that if you're doing a side hustle while you're doing uni, so like you're doing a part-time job as you're doing uni, it's really rare. You don't really hear that much. Because what I'm saying to my relatives in China right now, that I am, you know, working a part-time job as I am doing uni, they'd be really surprised. They'd be like, what? Is that what? Are you guys that poor? It's kind of, it has that vibe to it, right? Because in China, I think the point of view is that, you know, you're working at this, you know, small organization and doing uni at the same time is because you don't have enough money to sustain or something just like that. They really associate this to like a learning experience, right? For us, it seems like a work experience, a really good chance to get to know the work environment before you really do it for real after your graduation, right? In a sense, you also have fun and get some, you know, money in a sense, but, you know, not big money, just money enough to buy things that you want to buy. For example, podcast equipment, right?
Yes.
So I guess it's still a value, difference in value as well.
Yeah, I think it's because like Chinese people value studying a lot more. Like the reason they don't like usually get a part-time job when they're studying in university is because they want to prioritize their education. So they want to make sure they learn all the necessary skills first before they like apply them.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, they also have a main, like, I don't know if it's still the case, but they have a big conception about, you know, how they have to get into an office job, and an office job means success. Like when you go wear a shirt and tie, because my grandma still thinks of that, right? My grandma thinks, okay, if you wear a shirt, a tie and go to the office, you're successful. You have a good job. But coming back to that, you're not really earning much in an office job in China when you first graduate. Apparently. Yeah. That's what I hear. Yeah. So everything seems to be changing. So if we really want to talk about the difference between Chinese and Australian school right now, how big is the difference? Because everything just started to change, right? Would you say it's quite similar now? How the new policy has changed the way Chinese people perceive study in a sense?
Well, I don't know, like whether the new policy can have any like significant impact, because our culture, our values, they have been ingrained in us for many years. I don't think like a simple change in policy can completely change all of that.
Yeah, I agree. But because I've been hearing a lot of parents not complaints, but like I'm hearing different points of view from parents. Like there are people that are very happy, like, oh, finally my kids can be happy and enjoy childhood, right? But they're also parents that are like, oh no, what am I gonna do? All the tuition places are shutting down. I'm like, there's lava on the floor. It's burning me up. I can't just let my kids sit there and like, you know, do nothing on the weekends. He needs to learn, right? So
Yeah, I think
very dramatic.
Just replacing tuition schools with like interest developing schools, like piano.
Yeah, extracurricular things, right?
Painting, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's been like this, I think, for a very long time for now. Like this shift, right? The shift. Because I remember when I was in China, and when I was, you know, at a younger age, so probably like year two. Oh, it started in kindergarten, right? I don't know if you have heard this, but there was something called English tests, but it was like 2-star, 3-star. Have you heard of that? No, because it got banned. It got banned when I was in like primary school. So after I got my 3 stars, it got banned. Basically, the government said, okay, no, we don't need this in our society, right? We don't need people, you know, going for these things. Like with the little kids in kindergarten, we don't want them to go for this thing and have a bad childhood, and it's like they got banned, right? And then now when we have the double reduction, what is the actual name?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll just call it double reduce. And yeah, I'll get cancelled. But yeah, something like that, right? They're really pushing back the you know, academic wise, but pursuing more of a hobby. Right, like you say, piano. We would like to hear from you guys. So if you think something that we have talked about today is not quite what you have in mind, feel free to DM us and we can talk it out. Or you can even send us a message on Anchor if that works. I have no idea if that works or not, but you can give it a try. Our Anchor is anchor.fm/DeciDota. So DeciDota is DeciDota. And that will still be our Instagram as well. Well, yeah, see you next week.